نسلم لكم. في 9 فبراير كلمت مع أليشيا بريفيل ستودنتا زازوا من سيدني. الكم أليشيا ما تتكلمش بالمالتي هي أزلت لتعمل التازي تحها الدجري في الموسيقى. انفتي أزلت السجد تحها بحلا الموسيقى تراديشنالي مالتية تلانا والبريم. في زمين متى عون بيزا للنغوة والكولتورة مالتية اتموت فوسط الجنراتيون يجودة هو تنكوراجيمنت لستودنتا بحلا أليشيا أزلت لانا والبريم بحلا السجد التازي تحها. ينكلمت مع أليشيا في 9 تفرار. So Alicia, in which country were you born?
I was born in Australia in 1995.
So what is your connection to Malta and the Maltese culture that made you choose Maltese traditional music as your topic for your thesis?
Yes. I am a second generation young Maltese Australian. My mum was born in Sliema in 1955, and she came to Australia when she was 6 years old. My grandparents came obviously with her, and that's my Maltese side of the family, and I've always had a desire to connect with that and understand more about my culture, but I didn't have the means until I was old enough, and I used this opportunity to pick my honours thesis topic as Maltese folk music because I knew nothing about it at the time, and I'd only heard a little bit before, like many years ago when I was younger, when my granddad was playing a CD and I didn't know what it was and what it was about, and my mum explained it to me, and that was the first experience I had of that. But and then my mum suggested, why don't you explore that with your for your honours thesis, and when I was picking a topic, and so I decided to do that, and I'm glad I did.
Did you find it hard to look at a point where you could start researching this?
Yes, it was quite hard to find resources on it because there's not much research published on Maltese folk music, and even recordings are very limited as well. But when I got in contact with you and you sent me your book, it was very useful because it's very closely related to the topic that I wanted to talk about. And I did come across about 2 different theses on the similar sort of topic, but it wasn't quite the same, but I was able to get a few references from there, and that's how I got started. But then I conducted some interviews, first with you and then with 2 other people, and it worked out from there.
Now that you've started the study into Maltese traditional music, do you intend to go further with it?
Yes, I do, actually. I want to go on to do my PhD and possibly explore Maltese folk music a little bit more, and maybe do a project where I can create a fusion style of music where I can bring out qualities from Maltese folk music and make it combine it with another style that's more commonly listened to. And somehow I could bring the two together and create more of an interest and an awareness of Maltese folk music by doing that, hopefully. So that will be interesting to see what happens.
So, Alicia, have you got a connection to Maltese people in your home environment or in your profession?
Yes, not in my profession, just mostly at home. So I live with my mum, and I do frequently get to talk to my grandparents as well. And I encounter them always speaking to each other in Maltese and just making lovely Maltese food for me and listening to some of the music that my granddad plays in his garage when he's working on some of his crafts that he make. And he actually loves making Maltese figurines and boats, and exactly like the life-size ones I've seen when I was in Malta a while back. And he's always playing some music that's related to Maltese culture, and I've just had that experience growing up, even up to this point.
So could it be that you're listening to this music as you grew up, it was impacting on you without you knowing? Can that happen?
Yeah, I think maybe thinking about that now, it probably was just something that made me slowly had an interest in it without realizing straight away. Like, it's just always been there. Listening to that kind of music has always brought me sort of comfort and brings me back to my childhood. Even when I hear other music that's not Maltese but just sounds very similar style in some of the guitar. Like, I love songs with guitar and the way that Maltese music has it done. So.
One of the biggest problems now that Maltese, you know, first, second, mainly the first generation are fading fast, seeing that they came here in the 50s and 60s up to the early 70s. The culture is feared that it would die with them. Do you think that with people like yourself picking it up in this way, you feel a need to keep going with it?
Yeah, I definitely want to see Maltese music and culture just continue on. And if my aim is one day just to bring more people like awareness of the Maltese culture, because I do feel maybe it is because I'm half Maltese that I do also second the idea that it is a fading culture, because there's not many of us around and it's not widely known and performed, as far as I know, apart from what my family has told me. Yeah, like I've never had other people really talk about it that much.
Were you taught to speak Maltese?
No, I don't speak Maltese, but I did pick up some of like the general meaning behind what like conversational Maltese that I've heard in the house growing up. And I can understand a little bit, and sometimes it surprises my mum and my grandparents because I'll have a little bit of a laugh while they're talking about something. They're like, you understand that? but I can't actually speak it back. I always respond in English, even if my grandmother tells me something in Maltese and I don't really know what she's saying, but I sort of get the idea. She's been doing that recently when she used to live with us for a while, and I didn't realize I was picking it up again a little bit because it was direct conversation. The first time also when I was in Malta with my sister, I stayed there for 6 weeks, and that was the one time I actually started to pick up the language because the phrases were so commonly used, and we had a lot of friends and family who interchanged between English and Maltese, so it just blended together and I got comfortable and a bit more confident just saying it. But unfortunately, since being back here for so long, it started to fade a little bit, and I'd love to pick it up one day though properly as a language.
So therefore, in that environment, you'd be confident to pick up the language and in a shorter time.
Yes, definitely. I feel like you have to surround yourself with it to really experience it and pick it up very well. Like, it's just like one of my friends, she's Maltese, and she moved to Australia when she was younger, but went back there with her mum when she was older, and she's been living there teaching philosophy at schools in Malta. And she can speak now fluent Maltese. Like, she had forgotten it when she was in Australia, but now she's fluent in Maltese and English. And yeah, I feel like if I just did the same thing, stayed in Malta for a while and picked it up permanently, I wouldn't forget even if I moved away again, hopefully. But
you would have grown up in an Australian environment, of course. Was there ever a time when you wondered about your ethnicity?
Yes, frequently, actually, growing up. I've always wanted to know more about it, and I didn't realise that there were some aspects of my childhood that were specifically like Maltese traditional, just behaviour with my mum and my grandparents, until I grew up and met people from other cultures, and I realised that what we did was sometimes just like you could just classify it as very European in a way, or Maltese. Like, my parents were very different in the way they liked looking after the house. Like, my dad was very laid back with that. He's Aussie. And my mom just loved cleaning, like, all the time. I feel like it's such a Maltese mother, like, an aspect of that, you know, that living. And always having lots of food at parties, like, and everyone has to have second helpings. It's, you know, it's such a welcome and a very hospitable environment, you know, always welcoming people. And, yeah.
Tell me a bit about your grandparents, how they impacted on you and helping keep your Maltese side alive.
I love talking about this because my grandmother is the best cook, and I love it when she makes Maltese food or brings me pastizzis or ravioli. But best of all, my favorite thing she makes is rugiata, which is not something you can buy anywhere here. Even in Malta, it was hard to find last time I was there. But she makes it from scratch, you know, with the cinnamon sticks and everything. Like, it's just amazing. So her, she always impacted on me with her food, like, and just the way she nurtured all of us and just made it such a welcoming home every time I stayed at her place. My granddad was with the music, playing it in his garage all the time and always telling me stories about his childhood. And how he used to play the guitar in a band, and that's how he had a love of music as well. But he never was a trained musician officially, and I feel like that's common with a lot of Maltese people when they, especially in Maltese folk music, the idea is that they're not trained at all. And my granddad was the one who got me started on music in the first place and got me to learn piano. And that's how it all began. And he said, I want her to play European music one day, you know, like, and really bring, like, more attention to Maltese culture, which is funnily enough what happened in the end. Anyway, so hopefully he's happy.
The biggest worry, in fact, with the Maltese leadership in the community is that Maltese culture and language will die out with the first generations, right? What do you think about that?
I do feel like it's something that does happen with each generation just a little bit, because we all have a different experience of growing up. So my mum didn't even grow up all in Malta. So her childhood was split in half. So it was half, like, 6 years old, she moved to Australia, and that changed her experience to what my grandparents would have had when they grew up all in Malta, and then they came to Australia and learned English from scratch. And then with me, it's different again, because I was never born in Malta and I went there only later on. It's just, but I do feel like with second generation, like, Maltese Australians, a lot of them, they don't have too much experience of their Maltese side of their culture, but they have a desire later on to go back and just to explore it, because it's something that's different, and it's a lot about curiosity, you know, to explore what makes them them and what their origins, you know. Everyone has, I feel, that desire at some point just to understand who they are and what led them to this point, or the generations of their parents, grandparents, you know, their ancestors.
That's typical of other nationalities, of course, not just us Maltese. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I feel like even with other nationalities, that's something that I feel would be common, because today, especially in Australia, it's such a multicultural country, and we're so much more widely accepting of other cultures now, I feel. And because of that, it's interesting, like, people become more interesting when you realize that they have multiple cultures or ethnic backgrounds that they can explore, you know. You meet someone and you're automatically more fascinated by someone who has other origins, you know. And I think, yeah, that's why it's common.
Do you feel a need to express them in your own way, in your own arrangements?
Yes, well, now that I've done my research, I am really looking to explore that further and to do that. I haven't done it in the past. I've written other pieces and I've done remixes and explored with electronic music in the past before I actually got onto researching Maltese folk music. But now that I have done that research, I would like to create and explore that those elements of Maltese folk music that are specifically that what makes it so Maltese, and combine it with something more modern, I suppose, in a way, just so I can bring maybe a younger audience or more awareness of it. And I feel that if I can do that, a lot of younger people, it will just be able to spread like wildfire, just because it's so easy to share music today as well. And once one person has an interest in it, it just goes around, like, you know, very quickly.
This is going very quickly, actually, the interview. I had so many more questions, but we're limited for time. Is there anything that you, any points you want to make that I haven't asked you about, which are important to you?
I did want to mention that my lecturer was very excited when I picked this topic, because he's already an ethnomusicologist, and he's only worked with one other person at my university who did do a bit of research on Maltese folk music, and he didn't explore it in exactly the same way I did. So he helped me pick a sort of new twist to the topic. So I researched whether Maltese music was more of a multicultural practice or a cosmopolitan practice, and in the end, I figured, yes, it's more of a multicultural practice. And then I worked through my research to try and prove that or disprove it. There are elements of cosmopolitanism in Maltese folk music and the way it's practiced in Australia. That's my take on the topic. And I wanted to just add to it, because no one had actually really done that kind of research on it before, and I was hoping to write something innovative, you know.
So. That's very interesting, and it brings us to the end of the interview.
Thank you for having me today.
Thank you for giving us the time for SBS Radio.